Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president Local 237 Teamsters. With me, I have two very special guests, Dr. Anita Vasquez Battisti and Travis Prue. Dr. Battisti is the Associate Dean and Founding Director of the Center for Education Partnership at Fordham University Graduate School of Education. This program serves nearly 9,000 K-12 teachers, 400 administrators, over 550,000 students in the public and private charter schools throughout New York City and the greater metropolitan area. During the course of her career, Dr. Battisti has served many roles and institutions, from educator to advisor to the New York City Department of Education, the United States Department of Education, and the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts, just to name a few. Travis Prue joined Fordham University in 2025, so he's just started there as the university's first vice president for external affairs, with the responsibility for overseeing government relations and community affairs. That includes a new initiative called the Bronx Green Jobs Center, set to launch in fall 2026. Prior to joining Fordham University, Travis worked for the State University of New York, where he led government relations, partnerships, and communications for the largest system in public higher education in the country. At SUNY, he also managed New York's Small Business Development Center network with its 23 regional offices. Welcome both. Welcome you both to this show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So my first question is for Anita. We first met 2 years ago when you invited me to listen and participate in the conversation offered by Fordham School to school safety agents about trauma. Can you tell us a little bit about the success of that program? Any help in public perception of school safety agents? What are some of the new courses that Fordham has been providing since then to provide school safety officer training?
Okay, well, thank you. And as I said, President Floyd, it's nice seeing you again. We have a special grant, which was born out of COVID in 2020, when we were all somewhat traumatized and really dealing with a lot of things, being in lockdown, all the things happening in the city and in schools. And I was able to secure monies from the United States Department of Justice for a Stop the School Violence Grant. And the focus was to use trauma-informed practices to help people and promote safety and positive school climate. What we really do with that grant, we started in the Bronx, in the entire borough of the Bronx. And we selected about 8 schools, and we worked with the school staff, select number of school staff, and school safety officers. That's how you and I kind of met. And I must say, I've never met a more dedicated group of individuals. And I think I told you that when we met a few years ago. So what we've done, we had joint meetings with the officers and with the staff. We do workshops for them, and they're in real time, and it's not cookie cutter, and we customize it for the different schools that we work with. Some schools are interested in working on bullying, at that time bereavement, and we're still dealing with bereavement, stressors, psychological stressors, mental health, and adolescence, to talk and understand things a little bit better and to have tools that individuals can apply when working with the students. So it's not a course per se. They're professional development workshops to enhance the good training that you give them when they're on the job. Everyone is at the table and they plan together, they work together. But we also did some separate workshops for your agents, focusing on their stress and their concerns. And what has been the impact? We have found that the agents were very pleased that their voices are heard and they're respected and they feel valued and they feel included. They also feel we increased their knowledge. And as a result, they were more more confident in a lot of their their duties. We wanted to promote better communication, and so that the officers and the schools they're assigned to really function as a team. And it's a slow go, and it's not a perfect world, but we have made a tremendous impact. As a result of that, we were able to secure another grant where we're servicing the borough of Manhattan. So I've gotten that since our last meeting, and thank you for your support and your organization's support. And once again, we're working now with two boroughs and working with the school safety agents.
Let me ask Travis a question. In addition to what Anita just mentioned, are there any other programs available through Fordham? Recently announced there was a new initiative called the Bronx Green Job Center.
That's right. So we are working on developing a program right now that will launch in fall of 2026. Anita has thankfully been a part of this planning process. But what we're doing is we're taking a 12,000 square foot space located along East Fordham Road off campus. We're going to be renovating it. It's a nearly 100 or more than 100 year old building, originally built as billiards. We're going to be renovating it to turn it into what's going to be the nation's largest and most comprehensive green workforce development and entrepreneurship hub. We're doing this because at the end of the day, environmental justice, climate action, these are core to Jesuit values. Fordham's a Jesuit institution. It's core to the catechism. The last three popes have in fact implored for us to take action. And so what we were doing is we're turning those values and that mission into action to help the city and the state meet what are really aggressive climate laws. It's especially important here in the Bronx because the Bronx has been disproportionately impacted by environmental injustice and climate change, high rates of asthma, high rates of respiratory illness, et cetera. We also, our Bronx campus is located near some of the poorest zip codes in the entire country. But at the end of the day, this is all about preparing the next generation of workers. We know for solar panel and installation to grow, we need charging installation and paneling to installation and repair to grow, we need the workforce that's prepared to fill those jobs. Sometimes that's going to mean working with existing union men and women to retrain them, to move them into the pipeline of these new careers that they want to pursue. And sometimes it's going to be training people who are going to be new union men and women coming into that pipeline. Because in fact, a lot of these jobs require apprenticeships, require different certifications through the state in the exact same way that union employees do. So it's really important for us to work with you and your brothers and sisters throughout this process to make sure that we are developing a program that ultimately helps them pursue a career while helping the state and city move towards its climate and clean energy goals.
These are tremendous programs at Fordham. Can either of you two tell us if there's anything additional besides the green program and the school safety program that Fordham would offer to the public?
Yes. We have another program that's about 4 years old, where it's a career ladder training program for bilingual paraprofessionals. So, and bilingual paraprofessionals, I believe, are covered with the UFT. This program we do through a vendor contract with the New York City Department of Education, and it's citywide. So the paraprofessionals want to be teachers, which is wonderful. And they are working on getting credits. But what we do at Fordham, once again, through the Center for Educational Partnerships here at the Grad School of Ed, we provide professional development to augment the classroom work that that they are getting somewhere else. So what we actually do, we give them real experiences. For instance, they learn about the NICES lab, which is a language assessment battery. They learn about the tests. They learn about how teachers work and score it. They learn how the different levels are for the students. We teach them how to do lesson planning and to differentiate instruction. So these are all things that are applicable, that are in real time, and that are tools that they can use immediately as paraprofessionals, and that they can also use, obviously, when they become classroom teachers. So our career ladder training for bilingual paraprofessionals citywide. So we're very proud of that initiative that we've been doing.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters, with us very special guest Anita Battisti and also Travis Prue. And they are both at Fordham University. They're mentioning special programs at Fordham University. Here's a question I have. How would one get involved in this? Do you have to be a student enrolled in Fordham University, or can you come in through some sort of, I would say, external program that you would come and register just for the programs that you two have mentioned?
I'll let Dr.
Okay. Okay. As I mentioned, and there's no cost for this because I secure funding, be it a vendor contract or a grant. But when I plan a grant, I work with a school district or a group of districts within a borough. And both of these programs, we'll start with the programs that are involving your safety agents. We have memorandums of agreement with the Borough of Manhattan and with the Borough of the Bronx, the superintendents and their schools. So the agents that are already employed are in certain schools that we serve. We have also done citywide agents when we can, and it is currently for people that are employed. So they don't sign up. We work with the schools they work in and or their division people that supervise them, and we plan these joint workshops. With the bilingual training, it's citywide, and the New York City Department of Education contacts schools to send bilingual paras to this, and we provide the service. So it is not currently, it is not a course-bearing service, but it is free, and it's underwritten through grants and contracts that we execute.
Okay. Travis, did you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, and on the Bronx Green Job Center, so this is entirely a model that is meant for the community, people from the community to be able to tap in, to take the courses and receive the training that they need. When you take a step back and you look at the economic growth that's happening, New York City alone, by 2040 is expected to create 400,000 new jobs specifically within the green sector. Those sectors include solar install and repair, electric vehicle installation and repair, energy efficiency in the green buildings mode, urban agriculture, and then small business entrepreneurship. The potential here is huge. If you look at electric vehicles alone, rewind 10 years ago, there were about 30,000 or 300,000 electric vehicles on the road 10 years ago in America. Today, there's about 3 million. By 2030, the Department of Energy says there's going to be about 30 million electric vehicles on the road. To absorb that type of expansion, you have to have the infrastructure in place for charging stations. That's the biggest hurdle with people, especially here in the city, is where am I going to have easy access to charge my car? So there's an entire workforce that needs to be created to help install in homes, in public spaces, et cetera, to be able to meet that demand. And then there's an entire workforce that needs to be created to sustain the maintenance of that infrastructure once it's actually in place. Similarly, when you look at urban agriculture, people have been kind of doing this on their own for years across the city, including, I'm sure, many of your members. We want to be able to expand that so that people are able to take those habits, take those hobbies, take those little ideas that they have and actually turn it into some entrepreneurial model that helps build up themselves, their family, their community in a way while advancing the city's goals. So we are all about making this fully accessible to the community. Anybody can tap in. And we're looking to partner with unions and with nonprofit organizations and community-based organizations and others to be able to tap into already trusted networks so that people know that when we come and we talk about these opportunities, they're hearing from people that they already trust and believe in the center and have contributed to its development. So as we get closer to the launch of the center in fall of 2026, you know, we hope that we'll be able to partner with unions and chapters and others to be able to start to do direct community engagement about the opportunities that are there. And people can then direct us to their brothers and their sisters and their children and their neighbors, et cetera, so that this is a fully engaged community effort.
What do you think you need to do to collaborate with unions? How would you start that conversation? I mean, we're having a conversation now, but would you need assistance in having that conversation? Are there any targets or people that you would like to speak to about this?
Yeah, so we've started the conversation with the Central Labor Council, but we're still in the very early phases of this. So we want to meet with anybody and everybody. I'm available to meet for breakfast, lunch, dinner, calls, whatever it may be, because we want to get this right. While this is a Fordham vision, this is a collaborative approach that we are taking in the development of this. We are adaptable, we are nimble, we are trying to ensure that our values are embedded in this project every single step of the way. It's why it's important that even as we're going through the renovation process, we want to make sure unionized workers are carrying out those renovations and all of the work associated with that. So we're not going to get everything right every step of the way, because what we're building here is at a scale that the country has never seen before. But that said, we are leaning into our values. We're being as inclusive as possible. And I'd love the opportunity to meet and to hear about ideas and concerns and solutions that anybody has.
Yeah, I think I'd like to echo with our existing programs that Travis is planning. We listen and we believe in collaborating. You know, we can have the greatest plan and it's perfect and the chart and the flow chart and all of that, but it's the people and it's the people that execute it. So we're flexible. That's why I used the term before, real time needs. We found with our justice program, unfortunately, so many incidents in the Bronx with shootings, with young people innocently being hit by stray bullets. And when there was a really bad tragedy, there have been many in May. And, you know, we all look at the media. I was New York One. I said, oh, my God. I called my director. I said, just go to that school. Go to that school, offer bereavement, talk to people, and see what we can do. I don't care if it's not on the list. I don't care if it's not on your flow chart for tomorrow. Go to that school and do it. What we also have, which is the reason we are training bilingual paras, I must say the Graduate School of Education really has a corner on the market with bilingual, bicultural, multilingualism education. And many of our professionals that deliver the services are bilingual Spanish-English, which helps tremendously. We also include parents. So that's the community part with certain workshops. And we certainly did that with bereavement. And not only are we there, and it's just part of Fordham's mission, as Travis was saying, but to do it in a language that is their mother tongue is an asset. And we have a tremendous cadre of bilingual professionals that can deliver this and in the language that's needed at the time and that's appropriate.
Travis, did you want to say something on that?
I just wanted to add, you know, Fordham University right now, we're really fortunate. We have extraordinary leadership in President Tanya Tetlow, who has really made it clear to all of us across the university that our success as an institution is intrinsically linked to the success of our communities and the workers in these communities, and making sure we're lifting everybody up and doing our part as a university to amplify the positive impact that we can have as much as possible. Especially now, always, but especially now, universities can really play a convening role within our communities. We can take those good ideas like Dr. Battisti has talked about and actually move them out into the community to make a positive impact. And we're really leaning into our role at Fordham and being able to do that. And so we are an institution that's collaborative by nature. We're becoming more collaborative. So, you know, even if there's ideas that your listeners have that they want to explore that we have not discussed today, but they want to put out there and they want to throw out to somebody, to an institution like Fordham to explore, we welcome that because, again, the community's success, the workers' success is inherently linked with our student success and our institutional success.
Anita, I'm going to let you end it. Final words?
Final words. Yeah. Oh, I get the last word. That's really good. Okay. We hear. We have a slogan, we hear, we listen, you ask, we deliver, and we do. And both Travis and I and all the members of the Fordham community welcome more interaction, more collaboration.
Thank you. I want to thank you both. I want to thank Anita Battisti and Travis Prue of Fordham University for your initiatives. All these programs are innovative programs, and I want to say Fordham is the new place to be for innovation and forward thinking. So I want to congratulate you two on setting up this program, and the Bronx is very, very lucky to have you in their borough. And you also have a Manhattan campus too. So we want to say that. And thank you both for coming on Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237, Teamsters, and you've been listening to Reaching Out.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.